Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavitah Voi. On the day marking the creation of the Israeli regime, Israel's chief of staff issued a warning. Israel's army is capable of attacking Iran on its own without foreign support, even without U.S. support. One day later, the U.S. Senate committee passed a resolution to assist Israel in a war on Iran. Another day, another threat by Israel against Iran? Well, in this debate, we'll discuss why nuclear-armed Israel threatens Iran continuously over its civilian nuclear program and examine the ramifications of a U.S. resolution that would unconditionally back Israel were it to attack Iran.
The United States will have Israel's back if it goes to war with Iran. This is the very gist of a fresh U.S. Senate resolution adopted against Iran. The resolution has been introduced by these two senators, Democrat Robert Menendez and Republican Lindsey Graham, two pro-Israel lobbyists in the U.S. Congress. The resolution, cleared by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has been welcomed by the powerful pro-Israeli lobby group in the U.S., AIPAC. The lobby group is now urging the full U.S. Senate to adopt the resolution. The resolution contains very interesting language that we can pick up on. The Senate's text describes Israel's military aggression against Iran as Tel Aviv's legitimate self-defense. This is America's common practice. Washington has labeled all major Israeli military actions, most recently two wars on the besieged Gaza Strip, as self-defense. Also, the resolution calls Iran's nuclear energy program as nuclear weapons program. The assertive language goes against the International Atomic Energy Agency's reports of non-diversion of nuclear activities by Iran. Tehran has for times announced that it's not after nuclear weapons. What's more, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has issued a religious ruling, or fatwa, denouncing possession and use of nuclear weapons as unlawful under the Islamic laws. We should not forget as well that Israel is widely believed to be the Middle East's sole nuclear-armed regime, but has been defying international laws such as the Non-Proliferation Treaty, NPT. Apart from the pro-Israel resolution by the Senate, Tel Aviv is going further in its war rhetoric. Israeli Chief of Staff Benny Gantz says the army can launch an attack against Iran on its own without foreign support. Gantz's comments echo Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's words that said Israel will not leave its fate into the hands of other countries, even its best friends, a clear reference to the U.S. But that's all mere bluff, as Iran says. Senior Iranian military official, Deputy Chief of Joint Armed Forces, Brigadier General Sayed Massoud Jazayeri, also dismisses Israel and U.S. war rhetoric, saying they are afraid of Iran's crushing response. If Israelis are boasting of their independence of the U.S. war room decisions, they'd better not forget comments by Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei, who warned Israel of serious consequences if it dared to attack Iran.
Gahi sardamdaran regime sahyunisti ma ro tahdid ham mikonan tahdid be hamle nizami mikonan amma be nazaram khodeshon ham midanand va agar nemidanand bedanand ke agar ghalati az onha sar bezanad جمهوری اسلامی تل آویو و حیفا رو با خاک یکسان خواهد کرد.
Well, let's introduce our guests for this edition of The Debate. We have political commentator Randy Short, who joins us from Washington. We have author and journalist Richard Millett, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Richard Millett, Benny Gantz's warning on the day marking the Israeli regime wasn't for the home audience.
Well, for the home, Israel obviously needs to defend itself against the, let's face it, Iran started the threats, and Israel is not threatening. It will carry out, in its view, an attack if it feels it needs to defend itself against Iran's threats to wipe it off the map. The statement by the Supreme Leader that Israel is a cancer that needs to be removed. Iran is continuing to develop its nuclear weapons program. It has not agreed full access to inspectors to come in to look at the sites, to declare them free of unlawful intent on Iran's behalf. Iran has never agreed to have its low-enriched uranium exported out of the country for transformation under the guise of a country like Russia to have it then transformed into peaceful purposes that to then be taken back to Iran to be used for peaceful purposes. Iran doesn't need nuclear technology. It has huge amounts of oil reserves. There's the discovery a few years back of an undeclared uranium enrichment factory. The evidence just mounts up. And it's not for Israel's audience. These are threats that Israel needs to take seriously. And, you know, if you intend to wipe a country off the face of the earth, like Iran continues to do, then Israel, it feels, will have to take appropriate response.
Right. The number of points you made there, we're going to get to all of them. I think you pretty much squeezed all of those in. But looking at Benny Gantz, Richard Millett, 1 year earlier, he said, the Israeli military chief describing the Iranian government, he said was rational. He said he did not believe that Iran would be going after building a nuclear bomb. And he said that the Iranian leadership is composed of very rational people.
Well, Israel isn't going to put all of its cards on the table, and there obviously is a division
reaction
between
to it,
politicians.
But we're looking at Benny Gantz
and
what he said, which goes, I believe, contrary to some of the statements you made there in terms of Iran and how you say that Iran wants to wipe Israel off the map. Here you have Benny Gantz just a year earlier saying, I think the Iranian leadership composed very rational people, the government as rational, and did not believe that Iran would be going after a nuclear bomb.
Well, there are obviously very rational people in Iran and in the Iranian population and in the Iranian government, but those aren't the people that are necessarily the ones with the fingers on the trigger. You've got the president, Ahmadinejad, you've got Ayatollah Khamenei, who I don't believe that the Israeli government would see as rational, because these are the people with their fingers on the trigger who have said that Israel must be wiped off the map, and you have President Ahmadinejad, who's denied the Holocaust. So whatever, you know, we've got to press the military to be more specific on what it means. Who is rational?
So rational.
We've got to leave
I'm
up
glad
to
you bring that
Israel
word. Let's zoom in on that, Randy Short. Rational.
Okay.
Benny Gantz saying that the Iranian government is rational, that they're not after a nuclear bomb, and the leadership is composed. Yet you have people like Richard Millett who seem to think that Iran is not that, based on whatever description that Richard Millett just attributed to Iran.
Well, he's entitled to his ideological slant, but I don't know of another country other than South Africa where Nelson Mandela, when he came to power, ended the nuclear program in South Africa to make weapons. Everyone hailed Nelson Mandela as a great man. It's ironic that Ayatollah Khomeini made the same step years before Mandela, and they're still being vilified. It's quite rational for a country that was under attack and has been under attack for all the existence of the Islamic Republic that they've run away from and refused to develop nuclear weapons. They've signed the nuclear weapon proliferation treaty, something Israel has not done. Israel has nukes. They don't submit to anything, but they're rational. The International Atomic Energy Association has repeatedly, even though there are people who cook reports for other powers, shows that it is not trying to do this. So we have a rational government. We have a society that has not staged a war of aggression in over 200 years. Contrast that with allegedly rational Israel, which invades a lot of people or fights on a regular basis within the last 65 years. So if we're going to say who's rational, wouldn't it be the society that seems to not attack its neighbors? Wouldn't it be the nation that has opened up its nuclear facilities to be investigated? On top of that, there's an ideological bent that wants Iran to be wrong. I happened to participate at an AIPAC event in 2005 where they claimed that Iran would have the bomb by 2010. It's 2013, and that hasn't happened. And what's interesting to me is folks are against them enriching nuclear, their reactors up to 20% when you need far more than that to make a bomb. Everyone knows that. Even a person like me who's not a scientist understands that the people are not trying to make a bomb. But it's irrational to kill scientists. It's irrational to fund terrorists. It's irrational to manipulate a diaspora in America to be against a sovereign nation, Iran, without really any reason. It's constant provocation against the people of Iran, and yet they don't want to have a bomb. You don't see anybody threatening North Korea.
Richard Millett, your response there to Randy Short. Obviously, Randy Short holds different opinions than you do.
Well, can I just make it clear? I don't think anyone's got anything against the Iranian people or Iranian society. All I was quoting was President Ahmadinejad and the Supreme Leader. I was only quoting these two powerful figures who have their fingers on the trigger and have said that Israel must be wiped off the face of the earth. And Israel has fought wars, obviously, in the last 65 years, as many countries have. We could argue about it, but these have been, again, wars of defence. And to say that Iran hasn't fought a war, well, Iran has been meddling in other countries, not directly in wars, but it's been meddling in Syria, it's been meddling in Iraq. So you can't really say Iran is totally innocent. It fought a war with Iraq in the beginning of the 80s, let's face it, where a million people died. So, to say that Iran is innocent is rubbish.
Randy Short.
I think one person's rubbish is another person's treasure. You can't tell me that the attacks on the Gaza Strip are defensive, or the invasions, repeated invasions and incursions against Lebanon are defensive, or the preemptive war against Egypt in 1967 as defensive. Ben-Gurion and other leaders of Israel understood that they needed to be on a war footing to keep the people energized and charged up. There are more people in Israel who've set themselves on fire protesting the government of Israel than anyone in Israel that's been hurt by anyone in Iran. And the mistranslation that has been circulated all over the earth to impugn the character of President Ahmadinejad, it's shameful. There are different interpretations and translations of what it was that he said. So we've got something that's been circulated to make people hate everyone in Iran. And when one says that you're not angry at the Iranian people, but you demonize the leadership, in order to get a regime change like what people are trying to get in Syria, you exterminate the people. This humanitarian intervention to free the people from their so-called bad leadership means you have to have genocide against them. So in that instance, it's very, very irrational to think that once we've seen it happen in Libya, once we've seen it happen in Iraq, once we've seen it happen in Syria, that we're going to be fools to walk down that path and not say that we're saying no to war for the state of Israel against Iran. No, leave them alone. They are able to talk across the table. They're facing being surrounded by bases all against their country, and yet they're not attacking others. But they do support their Shia brothers and sisters the same way Jewish people support fellow Jews. It's inhumane to think that they wouldn't support fellow Shis. It shows a Talmudic slant where non-chosen people are seen as goy or cattle, subhuman. They don't have the right to have interest. And only the apple of God's eyes, the chosen people, they're the ones that get to do everything. They get to have the bombs that nobody will acknowledge that they have. They get to wage war, but it's always defensive, even when they're fighting women and children, using white phosphorus, using illegal weapons against civilian populations, violating their own treaties as they gobble up more and more of the West Bank. I mean, come on.
Let's take a quick time out there, Randy Short and Richard Millett, and let's take a listen to what the viewer comments said on our Facebook page on the topic of this debate.
Israel is not a member of the Non-Proliferation Treaty and in spite of this was allowed to possess nuclear weapons. What have the possessors of nuclear weapons done to forbid Israel from acquiring one?
Richard Millett, your reaction to that. Before that, you said that Iran's leader is a finger on the trigger, was, I believe, the expression that you used. And here Israel, though they don't obviously confess to it, are a possessor of nuclear weapons.
Well, I mean, Israel hasn't declared nuclear weapons. I mean, there's constructive ambiguity, which we know about.
The U.S. President, ex-U.S. President Jimmy Carter said that Israel has nuclear weapons, anywhere from 200 to 300, some vary.
Well, no one knows, but Israel hasn't, as I said, Israel has not threatened to wipe a country off the map like Iran has. And whatever Randy says, he can go to the Press TV cuttings, and Press TV itself reported Ayatollah Khomeini saying that Israel is a cancer that needs to be cut away, or words to that effect. So, you know, the Press TV reported threatening rhetoric from the Supreme Leader. And to go back to some of Randy's rhetoric, I'm not quite sure if I heard what he said, but talking about Jews as a chosen people and quoting the Talmud, shameful, shameful, shameful rhetoric, anti-Jewish rhetoric, racist rhetoric,
not
which
shameful.
Has no place in an intelligent
cancer,
broadcast
friend,
to do with politics, and that's
black
shameful.
Ethiopians a cancer, so they consider fellow Jews who are not their kind of Jews as a cancer. Africans in Israel are cancer. So what this term cancer is used, and that's in Haaretz, that's in the Jerusalem Post. I don't need to go to Press TV. If I simply read the Israeli press in America, where that information is hidden from most Americans, and a large number of American Jews are quite upset because they believe in Israel, they love Israel, they feel it's theirs, and yet they see things that they have a hard time agreeing with. And in the case of Iran, I believe right now, more so now than ever, the Iranian government and the people want peace. I believe the Israeli people who march by the hundreds of thousands who are dealing with the economic issues in that country want peace. Nobody wants a war. Ahmadinejad may say very strong things because he's a populist, but Netanyahu says strong things. In Israel, people venerate Baruch Goldstein, who massacred 29 Muslims in a mosque, but that doesn't mean that everybody in Israel buys into that. There's diversity in Israel, there's diversity
that's
in Iran.
That's a great point.
Frankly,
that's a great point, Randy
I
Short.
Think that
and
no
I'm
one
sorry
really
to jump in
a
on a great point, but I need to bring Richard Millett in there. Richard Millett, Netanyahu is a hardline stance based on the viewpoints of Benny Gantz, based on the viewpoints of several Israeli military and intelligence officials in the establishment, including the former Mossad chief, Meir Dagan, regarding Iran. Now, do you agree with that? Do you believe that there's actually a split there when we talk about Netanyahu and the ex-defense minister Ehud Barak, as opposed to Benny Gantz and some of these Israeli military and intelligence officials that don't believe that Iran at this point is going after the bomb based on their viewpoint and that there are rational people in the Iranian government?
Well, Israel hasn't taken a decision as to what to do yet, and there is this division between politics and the military, as we've discussed, and the military, at the end of the day, has to take its orders from the politicians, and the politicians might use the rhetoric that they're using. It doesn't mean to say they're going to lay all their cards on the table. It doesn't mean to say they're going to attack Iran next week. They're not going to probably do it without American support. I don't think they can do it without American support. So whatever the politicians say, you've got to listen to it. It's a hardline stance. Israel will do what it needs to do. It doesn't want to give the impression that it's going to let Iran off the hook. And we've seen that Iran's nuclear program has probably been set back since 2010 because of assassinations of nuclear scientists, because of various viruses that have been sent over into Iran's nuclear technology system. So they are dealing with Iran in other ways. We're seeing sanctions also hitting home, and this is also going to delay the nuclear
So why come out and friend Iran?
Go ahead. Diplomatically, it's the way forward.
Randy Short, go ahead.
The sanctions are illegal. When someone says they love the Iranian people, but they think sanctions are a good thing, that punishes the people, that starves the people. Mr. Hamed Ahmadi, who's one of the news directors at Press TV, he's on Facebook, and he lost a seven-year-old because he couldn't have the appropriate medicine. Hundreds of people in Iran, babies, women, mothers, are dying because of the sanctions. People are losing their livelihood because of the sanctions. These sanctions are illegal. These sanctions are wrong. These sanctions are war crime. These sanctions, I'm speaking as a Christian of Muslim and Jewish descent, it's a crime against God. I pray that God stop this. It's horrible what's happening to the people. People will be pushed to they want people to riot over bread. It's horrible. It's a provocation. Iran has gotten stronger. Now look, they've manipulated the gold market to prevent people from Iran from being able to buy medication or food. My God, leave them alone. They want peace. They don't want a bomb. And these sanctions are a human rights violation. One day, many leaders of the West will be in the docket for war crimes and crimes against humanity, against the people of Iran and Syria and Libya and Bahrain and all the other places in Iraq that have been invaded for these wars. It's horrible. It's a crime against God. It needs to stop now.
And quickly, running out of time, Richard Miller, 30 seconds. This Resolution 65, the U.S. will provide Israel with diplomatic, economic, and military assistance. Sounds like unconditional support. But some are saying that's just a morale booster for Israel, because when it comes down to it, it's Obama who's against military attack on Iran. Your reaction?
Well, he is against military attack, and I think that the wording of this resolution is ambiguous to a certain extent. It doesn't mean to say it's going to support Israel in all circumstances, if necessary, as I understand it, the words to that effect. So it's not a carte blanche support of Israel, but Israel will do what it needs to do, and it will help hope for America's support. And this has happened in past wars, where Israel has, to a certain extent, gone out on a limb, and America has just about provided support when it was needed.
Randy Short, can I get your reaction on this H.R. 67? Because it says on self-defense.
Yes.
And Israel, of course, is not a self-defense imposter. Go ahead.
Yes, well, Israel really can't wage any long-term war against a country the size of Iran, which means that it necessarily will fall on the backs of hungry Americans who are facing cuts in the social safety net by this maniac called Obama, who hides behind his skin color, and he's worse than Bush. The American people will suffer. There will be hunger. The seniors will be euthanized, where abortion is a family planning here. We don't need a war. We don't want to fund it. We need to build bridges and schools here. We need peace. We need bread. We need jobs and opportunity, and we need to be to lock hands with our Jewish and Muslim brothers and live in a world full of peace, not fighting for radical, rabid Zionism or any kind of fundamentalism, whether it's capitalistic or the Illuminati. Enough of this. Humanity is sick of fanaticism.
Very well. We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much, political commentator Randy Short. We also heard from author and journalist Richard Millett. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. From Mikova Tavway and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.